This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome along. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with me, your host Nigel Seeley, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper Sean Calvert, brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. It's our last podcast of the week. It's our last show of the week. And glad to say I've got my microphone working. Apologies for yesterday. The microphone was switched off for some reason. I don't know.
A lot of people sounded okay to me, but
A lot of people want my microphone switched off, and I don't know whether that was something that BetRivers did.
Do they?
I think so. I've got a lot of criticism in the last couple of weeks about my pronunciation of players' names. Well, we've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks, I was going to say.
Nothing's changed. I'm just about pronouncing
your name. That's all you're getting criticised for. I don't think you're doing a bad job. That's all. I mean, some of these names, even I struggle with some of the names. I mean, some of them I have to guess. I credit myself, I'm slightly better than you are at pronunciation.
Slightly, but you're a lot better.
But I don't get all of them right, that's for sure.
Well, I think it's worse with Rory than the women's show. The show, I can't.
A lot of those players, I don't even know.
I'm struggling with those names, really struggling with those names. But it doesn't matter.
Rory to do it.
The one thing I always say is, I can't pronounce the name, but I know if they should be -104 or +104. And that's all that matters, really.
Which is all that matters on a show about betting, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, you can call him Herbert Herkash and whatever if you want, but
I'm never changing that. That is his name as far as I'm concerned.
It's fine by me. I'm not
Daniel
saying
Medvedev, never going to be
Daniel Medvedev, yeah.
It's always going to be Daniel to me.
It's fine. So we could go on all day about the ones you aren't pronouncing correctly, but you know, we've got a show to do here.
What ones do I do? What ones do I pronounce correctly?
Correctly or incorrectly?
The ones I can pronounce correctly, I think there's less than them than the ones. Well, Cam Norrie can't get that wrong.
I haven't made a note, to be honest with you. You probably know better than me.
Well, there won't be many. But anyway, you're not coming here for the pronunciations because that's the wrong show. We're here for winners and we're winning picks. And that's what we're trying to do on the show. And we're trying to give you a value. I mean, we're having this conversation and it's still sort of going on the YouTube channel. People are asking about value, saying, if you think that someone's going to win, we want winners, we don't want value. Well, that is absolutely ludicrous. This is about value. You know, we want
people, experts, to tell you a 1-20 shot is likely to win. You know, if I sat here and said every day, well, I think he's going to win at 1-30, yeah, he's got a pretty good chance at 1-25, what's the point in that? There's no point in that whatsoever. My job and the way I do my job, you know, people might not like it, that's absolutely fine, is to try and find value, because I believe that's the way long term to make a profit. If people don't believe that and don't want to do it that way, that's entirely their choice.
It's 100% the way to do it, and that's what we're doing here. We're trying to educate and give the value and tell people exactly what percentage chances are. People say it's value interpreted in your mind. Well, it's percentages.
Well, yeah.
Everything is a percentage. So what you think, every price is related to a percentage. So I put an example up on YouTube, and it's a very important example. So at the weekend, as we've mentioned a couple of times in the show, and I'll mention it tomorrow on the Premier League podcast, I bet Aston Villa to beat Arsenal at 10-1. Did I think Aston Villa would beat Arsenal? No, I didn't. But I thought 10-1 was a big price. So the bookmakers were giving me a 9% chance that Aston Villa would beat Arsenal. And I thought there were about a 12% chance to beat Arsenal. So I thought there was 3% in my favour. So I bet them.
Yep.
That's what I did.
Yep.
Now, I never thought for 1 minute that Arsenal would win. I thought we'd have a gallant loser or they'd lose 1 or 2-0. But I just thought the price was wrong. And that is what we do on this show. Yep. We look at prices and we think the price is wrong and we bet them. And and over a period of 100 bets, we might hit 60 of them. And that's why we do it.
Some people think that I'm trying to pick the winner and getting it wrong. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find out exactly what you just said, and there'll be an example in a minute. This player has got a better chance of winning this match than the odds imply. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't get it right all the time, obviously, and I'm not picking winners of matches. That's, you know, that in the long term, that's the road to the poorhouse. The road not to the poorhouse is to continually bet at prices that are bigger than the likelihood of that outcome. It's as simple as that.
and hopefully the market follows, so we get the closing line value as well, and that's what we do. So that's you know, if you've got a strategy and it works for you, that works for you. But if it's not for you this show, it's not for you this show. But that is what we try to do. We try to find value for reasoning for value and percentage value, and that's what we end at closing line as well. Okay, let's move on to the matches in Bucharest. Bit of a problem today, isn't it? We've got some bets already and not really much happening. I know Barrere was a lean. I bet him. I had to bet him. And I know a lot of people commented about Barrere's bet this, and they said, why isn't Sean betting it as an official pay? Because the argument you gave was superb, but it forced me into having a bet.
It was a theory. It was a theory.
And his theory is looking good at the moment. It's a setup, and it's starting to rain.
If I'd bet the theory and it was wrong, I'd just be getting pelters from everybody. So I can't
you
win either
from
way,
me.
Can I?
Listen, you won't. Don't worry
not,
about
not
it.
From you. I'm just talking
them.
About.
We just block trolls. Don't worry about that. move on.
Generally speaking, I prefer to have statistical information as well as a theory or whatever. But I did say it was a pretty strong chance that what had happened has happened. But that match hasn't finished yet. You know, rain delays change matches. I've always said it. Not just rain delays. Any delay changes a match. And it doesn't even have to be that long a delay. We saw that today with Jack Draper. Lost the first set against Mollica. Went off for the rain. It was snowing earlier on, by the way, there, like I said. Mollica came back, a set up, won two more games in the match. Lost 6-1, 6-1. That happens in tennis. Any delay, it's a big problem. I hate it when there's a delay and my player's winning, but I love it if my player's losing and there's a delay, because invariably the match can switch. You know, the player's had time to rest, think about what he's done wrong, think about how he can change things. And they come out and they're often a different player. And that's what happened. That could still happen in the Barrere match, by the way. But the first one, we definitely did get correct, didn't we? Which was Tabolo -2.5 against Rinderknecht. Sometimes when these leans, you know, they come in, you think, oh, why didn't I bet it? And then, you know, the couple of leans I had earlier in the week, one of them lost from two match points up, and the other one lost 7-5 in the third. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
I love the theories much more than the statistics. I know you're just a stats man, but I think the stats, okay, the bookmakers see that, but the theories, you go deeper down and you find little unearthed gems that the bookmakers probably won't do. And I like the theories.
Yes, that works well for me, particularly on the Asian swing, certainly. You know, I put these ideas out there. I don't always get it right in terms of which ones to make official plays and which ones to make leans. Sometimes I get it quite wrong, but the theories are there. You know, the arguments are there. People don't have to blindly follow the one that I choose out of the four or the two that I choose out of the four. They can think, well, actually, I prefer this one. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want people blindly following the same thing. What I'm trying to do is give people ideas, and then they think, yeah, that's good, or yeah, that's not for me, and then take it on and do their own thing with it. That's what I want to do.
Love the theory. Theories all day long.
Yeah, it's good. This one's working out so far. But
conspiracy theories. Oh, I like a theory.
Well, if this one comes back in an hour's time and Kokkinakis knocks it off 6-2, 6-1, everyone's going to be like, oh, that theory didn't work.
Well, I don't like theories then. I'm off theories.
But the, you know, as I said, that could be one where rain delay changes matches. You know, this time of year, it's a problem because there's hardly any tennis on today, is there? Munich's been on and off at the minute. I think it's off. Bucharest's off at the minute. So there's only really Barcelona, which we can't talk about because the matches happen so quickly, bang, 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 that we don't have any space a time to talk about them and get a video up. That's the issue we're having.
I just want to ask you one question before we go on to tomorrow's matches. Rafa Nadal come back yesterday against Camilo. Quite impressive, 6-2, 6-3 win. Did you watch the match?
Yes.
What did you think of Rafa?
I think he's nowhere near the player that he was, obviously. The problem that Caboli had was a technical one. Rafa's heavily topspun left-handed forehand, you know, in a warm day, it kicks up really high off the surface. And Caboli, he was trying to hit every backhand jumping like Shapovalov does, which is not a good technique. But he's got no choice because the ball's up around about his shoulders and he was jumping and hitting it. And he's going to make unforced errors. Whoever you are, you're jumping and hitting. You're going to make an awful lot of unforced errors. So Rafa's seen that, played up on it, as you would expect. But for me, his serve was nowhere near. He was just dollying them in. Compared to what he's done in the past, doesn't look like he can serve properly, doesn't look like he can move and defend as well as he could before. But, you know, it was his first match for a very long time. Those things might sort of kick in the longer he plays. I would imagine he was protecting himself in that match. I imagine he thought, I'm not going to go all out today because, you know, I've been out for a while and I've done that before and come back and had to go out injured again. So either he was taking it quite easy in like sort of second, third gear, or if that's all he's got, then he's not, you know, he's not going to be troubling the big boys at the French Open, but, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, obviously, time in the film, we're going to miss the Alex de Minaur against Nadal match as well. I've actually bet de Minaur, actually.
I don't blame you.
I don't think.
I mean, Cavoli was poor. I mean, it's a difficult situation for Cavoli, isn't it? Coming in on Rafael Nadal court against Rafael Nadal.
12-time champion crowd.
Knowing that 99.9% of the crowd are against you and are wishing Rafa to win and go well. And you're coming on as Cavoli, not overly experienced. You know, it was a tough situation for him, but. Yeah, de Minaur, he's got his chances today. Absolutely, he has.
Yep, de Minaur, for me. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week on the show. Nadal is back. BetRivers still haven't single figures to win the French Open, but there's going to be a lot of work to do and the build-up to Roland Garros when we'll have you covered here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. Okay, let's look at tomorrow. Bucharest, we're concentrating most of our plays because obviously the time difference, as Sean has said there, Barcelona, we can't really cover at the moment. But head across to the Instagram account if there is any wages or any information. We'll put you on there because we win. So the first match we're going to speak about is Marton Fucsovics against Talon Griekspoor. Marton Fucsovics is -104. Talon Griekspoor is -120. The spread here is 1.5, -137 for Fucsovics. Receiving 1.5, +107 for Griekspoor, -1.5. And the total is 22.5 with over -127 and under at even money. They've met twice before. Fucsovics beat Griekspoor in straight sets at Wimbledon, which was a shock where you would have thought that Griekspoor would have probably been at his best. In Rotterdam, he also beat the Dutchman, again, in straight sets, 6-4, 7-6. But yet, Vucevic is the underdog here. Vucevic is the lower-ranked opponent at 82, if compared to Griekspoor at 25. But their record this year and the record on clay is much more favourable for Vucevic ahead of the Dutchman here. BetRivers have Griekspoor favourite. I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not so sure at all. This is a good example of what we're talking about. For me, Fucsovic's odds are better than his chances of winning here, what the bookies have put up anyway. They've put him up as underdog. Arguably, he should be favourite here. Certainly, if from my point of view anyway. This is a very, very tough opener for Griekspoor. His record on clay is poor. Last 12 months on clay at main level, Fucsovics service points won and return points won total 101, and his service hold break total is 101. Griekspoor only played 6 matches last year, mainly because he keeps losing. So I've gone back to his last 10 matches on this surface at main level. Service points won and return points won total 99, so 2 fewer. And his service hold and break total is 97, which is 4 fewer. So on the bare clay court stats at this level, you would make Fucsovics favourite. I mean, simply, Griekspoor isn't the same player in slow conditions. He needs it to be quick. He's not keen on the longer rallies. Fucsovics doesn't mind longer rallies, won titles on clay before. So looking further into Griekspoor's stats, he's only won 46% of his second serve points on clay. Doesn't surprise me. He relies quite a lot on his serve, fair few tie breaks when he is playing on the quicker surfaces. He's not going to have those sort of conditions, certainly not by the time this match gets on, which may be tomorrow. It depends on these thunder showers in Romania, but the conditions are certainly getting slower there, slower by the hour. His career on this surface, clay, main level, he's only got 39% win rate, does Griekspoor. So there's nothing in his statistics that would make me think he's likely or should be favourite to beat Fucsovics on the clay. Fucsovics was a little bit lucky to win his opening round match so easily against Vacheron. He was 6 love down in the tiebreak and managed to turn it around and won 10-8. I wish I had a player that was 6 love down in a tiebreak and ended up winning the set. I don't think that's ever happened to me in my entire life. I've had a lot that have lost from 6-1, 6-2. Yeah, many times. But yeah, 6 love down and won it 10-8. So the head-to-head, as you said, also favours Fucsovics. The service points won and return points won tells those 2 matches. 106-94 in favour of Fucsovics. So the head-to-head favours him. The clay stats favour him. The fact that he's had a match here in these conditions favours him as well. You've got to also bear in mind this is kind of a home tournament-ish for Fucsovics. It's about as close as he's going to get the Hungarian. Used to be at Budapest. Obviously, that would have been a lot closer, but this is relatively sort of home-ish territory for Fucsovic. So just looking further into that head-to-head, Fucsovic has won 13% more points on second serve. That's a big advantage. So he's been much better from the back of the court. He hasn't just relied on his serve. So, and those matches were played in conditions where you would expect, as you said, Greek sport to prefer. So I'm a little flummoxed as to why Fucsovic is plus 118 here with Bet Rivers. He certainly was earlier anyway. I mean, with Fucsovic, he's not the most reliable a campaigner, so I most certainly will not be watching this match because it's not good for my health to be doing so. But at these odds, you have to take Fucsovic, and that's certainly an official play.
Unfortunately, the 118 isn't there. This is the problem.
What is it now?
So we are now minus 104, Fucsovic.
Already?
Yeah, already. Well, unless John's made a mistake. Now, I've criticised John before, our graphic man. Well, actually, the current John has sent me the graphic of minus 120 and plus 104. That's the graphic that John has sent me through, and he is absolutely right. John is right again. John is never wrong. Our graphic man is never wrong. Minus 104, Fucsovic.
I wouldn't say that, but, you know, rarely wrong. Let's go
rarely
with that.
Rarely wrong. But, you know, when the graphics come through, they're usually spot on.
So Greek sport's still favourite?
Greek sport's still favourite, minus 120, yeah, Fucsovic, well, is minus 104.
Oh, yeah, get on quick would be my advice then in that case.
We'll still take the minus 104?
Not as, obviously not as appealing, but it's still reasonable, bearing in mind that everything I've just said, yeah.
Yeah, we expect him to be the favourite. He's not the favourite. And we think by the time the two of them start, which will probably be about 5 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, hopefully, weather conditions are allowing, the Fucsovic will be the favourite. So these prices, we believe, will flip. We believe that Fucsovic will probably be about minus 120 chance and Griekspoor will be minus 104. So you may have missed the early value. Plus 118 was the price. That seemed a huge, huge price. But in minus 104 still represents a small bit of value. And it's still going to be our official pick here on the show. So Marton Fucsovic to beat Talon Griekspoor in Bucharest. 5 a.m. start tomorrow. Remember, if you bet the match on BetRivers website, you can watch the match as well. So bet live and watch live on BetRivers from the comfort of your own home before you go off to work in the morning. Okay, the next match is a really, really close one, this one. I think if you look at it, all the angles, I think it's quite difficult to call. Intrigued to where you're going to go here. Pedro Martinez is up against Mimor Kecmanovic. The Spaniard Martinez is 57 in the world rankings. Kecmanovic is 60 in the world rankings. The two have never met before. But Pedro Martinez has a much better clay court record this season. He's 13-3, reached the finals, in Estoril, beat by Hercash, come through a first round match here already. Kecmanovic struggled against Goffin. I think maybe you're looking towards Martinez here, but again, I don't know. Minus 125 is the price for Martinez. Even money Kecmanovic. The spread is 1.5. Minus 125 for Kecmanovic receiving 1.5. Martinez is minus 110, giving up 1.5. And the total here is very high. 23.5 with over plus 110 and under minus 150. Martinez definitely has the better clay court record this season and is coming in with some form. But there is that fatigue factor. There is that worry that he might just run out of legs a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got written down here. But I just wonder if Martinez is feeling it after all the tennis he's played in the last few weeks. He certainly looked a bit struggling a little bit yesterday against Tabana, who he's beaten numerous times, ended up winning that in a third set. You know, Martinez has played 11 matches in 3 weeks, and very few Martinez matches are quick affairs. You know, the way that he plays, he has to grind out his results most of the time. You know, doesn't have big weapons to call on. You know, it's on the clay. It's generally a tough old ask for him. So 11 matches in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Kecmanovic has only played 4 in the same time frame. So you would think he's got much more in his legs, Kecmanovic. Again, this is kind of it's not home tournament for Kecmanovic, but not a million miles away, Serbia, you know, to Romania. It's about as close as he's going to get now. This tournament was held in Belgrade before, wasn't it? And then Banja Luka, but this is about as close as he's going to get. You know, Martinez has been in great form lately. You know, he does lead the clay stats over the last 12 months, but the style of play that he has means I feel like this is going to be a grind as well. And it could be Kecmanovic just edges it on fitness. The thing that Kecmanovic does better, or he certainly did better against Goffin than Martinez did against Tabana, was the first serve points. He won 70%. Kecmanovic's got slightly bigger serve. Martinez only won 59% of his against Tabernas, so he had to rely a lot on his second serve and his ground game. So the slightly bigger weapons for Kecmanovic, as it gets slower as well with the rain that's coming, is there, and it's going to continue to be there in Bucharest. It's going to make it slower. So the slightly bigger weapons of Kecmanovic is something that I'm kind of leaning towards, but I'm not sure I want to back him at even money. I feel like I want to get a bit more juice for it because it is just a theory. So I'm not sure what the price is currently, but 2-1 to Kecmanovic is maybe the value play there, just to have the legs on Martinez if this does become a long grind.
We're waiting for the odds to come out on Bet Rivers. I've only got the money line as we currently speak, so we're head across
it's
there.
It's going to be about 3-1, isn't it? Something like that.
The one thing I would say is in the last hour or so, there has been money for Martinez. So Martinez is being bet across the board. So there could be a potential that Kecmanovic will get bigger ahead of this match. So if he does get bigger, what price would you think I've got to bet him at that price?
Well, if he goes to about, let's say, 2.4, something like that, plus 140, I'd be interested then, yeah.
Yep. So Kecmanovic is a bit of a negative in the market at the moment. Martinez is obviously the man in form. He must be tired. We've spoken about the fatigue factor in this time. Clay takes a lot out of you. The average match is a lot longer than a normal hardcourt match as well. So if you play a lot of long games on clay, it's going to take its toll on your body. And Martinez has certainly played a lot of tennis over the last couple of weeks. And Kecmanovic is obviously a bit rested here. The more experienced player as well. Currently even money, but we do expect that to get a little bit bigger. So if you want to bet Kecmanovic, my advice would be to hold on a little bit and maybe pull the... have a little bet on it a little bit nearer the time. Okay, we're staying in Bucharest. Bucharest has been our most popular tournament this week, and a lot of decent matches. They're all quite good matches as well. They're all quite competitive matches.
Sorry, mate, go on.
No, I was just saying that these are quite competitive matches. They're not big favourites, are they?
Yeah, a lot of these matches in Barcelona, they're unbackable, really, favourites. Coming in left, right and centre, they always do in Barcelona and Monte Carlo. So I much prefer talking about a match where it's the layers have it 50-50 and I can sort of see an angle one way or the other than me sitting here telling you that Casper Ruud's going to beat Alexandra Muller at about 1-16.
But that's what the guys want. They want that.
Ruud's going to beat Alexandra Muller. Yeah, I think he's already won, actually.
Win his first round and we would at minus 5,000.
I think he's already won, but even so, you know. So, but yeah, this is a new tournament as well on the tour. You know, everyone knows the conditions in Barcelona. This is new, do for most of these. It's not been played since 2016. So you do get more value in these sort of tournaments for me generally.
And this one here is a tricky little match as well. Nuno Borges up against Corentin Moutet. Borges is minus 125. Obviously, I watched him a couple of weeks ago beat Musetti. We called the Wawrinka match pretty much spot on in the first round.
Yeah.
Perfectly. He said he was going to win the first set and then he probably struggled. And exactly what happened. Borges come through 2-1. Moutet, if you can call his matches correctly, then you're a very, very clever man. You deserve a place in on this show if you know that, because Moutet, we never know what Moutet is going to turn up. But he
even
is the
Moutet on the show. Get Moutet on the show and he wouldn't tell you what he's going to do.
Exactly. He's an even money outsider. Borges is minus 125. The spread is pretty irrelevant because it's very close. But if you want to play on the spread, it's minus 1.5 for Borges at minus 110. Moutet plus 1.5 and minus 125. The total here is 21.5 with over minus 110, under minus 150. And I was quite surprised that the total was 21.5 in this match, 22.5 in the Fuchsovich, 23.5 in Kecmanovic. Because if any player is going to have a meltdown and go into a long match and lose the match from winning positions, it could be either one of these two. So I was quite surprised. I thought over here at plus 110 represented a little bit of value when I saw the lines come through from John. I'm not saying that John's wrong, because he's never wrong, but over 21.5 here at plus 110, I thought it was a nice price.
Plus 110 over 21.5?
Yeah.
Sure?
I'm sure that's what you said on the graphic. Hang on. let me check. Go, you talk away.
Okay, well, I just wonder how Borges is going to cope with this box of tricks coming at him from Moutet. And, you know, if you've never seen Corentin Moutet play, anything's possible. Absolutely anything. He's got unbelievable skill, but mentally, he's absolutely all over the place. Anything can happen from one minute to the next. I've seen him play matches where he's been arguing with the umpire in the first game. I remember that was at Stuttgart last year. He ended up throwing all his rackets over the other court, which is something he does regularly. He also did that in Marrakech. First game, he was complaining about stuff and ended up losing a final set tiebreak. I just wonder how Borges is going to cope with this. It's an unusual and kind of frustrating experience playing players like Moutet and, you know, Fognini in the past, and players that are constantly arguing with the umpire, and there's all sorts going on. It can put some players off. We won with Wawrinka yesterday, as you said, with him powering his way past Borges in the first set. He won it pretty comfortably, and then fading, as unfortunately Stan does these days. But Borges is one of the reasons I took him on with Wawrinka is his stats aren't that great. Borges on clay last 12 months at main level. Moutet's actually got better stats. Borges 98 in his service points, one in return points, one total. Moutet's on 100, so Moutet's a couple of points ahead. Service hold and break total, perhaps slightly less relevant, but Borges down at 94. Moutet, not great either, but still better on 95. So just on the clay stats, you couldn't possibly be backing Borges at, what is he, minus 125?
Minus 125. Borges plus Moutet. Now, I've got I said earlier on in the day, now I will be having words with the graphic man, John, because the graphic I have been sent is 21.5 over at plus 110, under minus 150. He's made a mistake. It's 23.5. Yeah, it's 23.5. And it's over evens plus 100 and under
23.5. That's high.
Yep. So, okay. Graphic Man John, we said you'd never make mistakes.
Well, I didn't say that.
I did. And he usually does, but he's made a mistake here on the Borges Moutet match. We'll get the graphic change, but the graphic I've sent mistakes in front of me is 21.5. And there you go. I'm reading from there. But what's the answer? Where are we going to make the money here?
I haven't finished with the synopsis yet.
Sorry.
It's all right. Borges has never played a left-hander, surprisingly, on clay at main level in his career so far. He's played left-handers at main level on hard courts, and he's done pretty well. He's 6-3 win-loss against left-handers on all hard courts, that's indoor and outdoor hard. At challenger level, he's played left-handers on clay, and he's 6-3 win-loss there. But, you know, he's not played a lefty at main level, and this isn't a very unusual style of play with Moutet. Where I'm going here, Moutet is basically what you said earlier. 9 of Moutet's last 14 matches on clay have gone overs. When I say overs, I generally mean 22.5. And his irregular style and his mood, very moody player, that it tends to create a lot of up and down matches. He can go off the but he can look $1 million sometimes. Moutet, but then he goes off the boil and he gets involved in stuff he shouldn't be getting involved with. Before you know it, he's lost a set in like 15 minutes. So I think overs is the best option here, but that line is very high, 23.5. I would be going, if you've got price with Bet Rivers there, I would probably be going over 2.5 sets, because this could easily be 6-1, 1-6, and then battle it out in the final set. I haven't seen the odds, but I imagine that'll be around about 2.4-ish or something like that. For over 2.5 sets, that's where I would be going with this one, I think. Another up and down match from Moutet, who has a history, certainly recently and generally as well, of playing up and down matches that go long.
Where we stand now, BetRivers are waiting. So we're recording this very early in the UK. So we're waiting for the lines to come out. So unfortunately, we haven't got the full array of markets. But tomorrow morning, before these matches start at 5 a.m., a little later on today, when this podcast goes live, you can head across to the BetRivers website. There will be 41 different markets, 35 different markets, something around that region on all these matches. So at the moment, we don't have them, but the lean would be for overs around about 21.5, 22.5. We can get it. We're looking for over 1.5 sets, two and a half sets, sorry, at plus 140. And looking at long, we think this match is going to go long. We wouldn't play on the money line, we wouldn't play on the handicap, but we do think that everything here is building towards a long match, a nervy match, a trading match where one guy player puts his head in front, the other one comes back. Moutet has a couple of meltdowns, smashes a few rackets. Borges goes in front. Moutet has a good time. Then he smashes more rackets and then goes to a tiebreak.
That sounds about right.
11-9 in the tiebreak. That's not predicting the match.
Well, that sounds about right. Or take Moutet. What price is Moutet? Plus 110 or something?
Moutet's in the match is even money.
Okay, so you could start out in a trading position on Moutet and then maybe trade from there. But the easier way for me would probably be the over 2.5 sets. You'll definitely get plus money on that.
Yeah, head across the Bet Rivers or website and the odds will be available throughout the evening and the early hours of tomorrow morning when this match starts. So at this moment of time, we're just preempting what the prices might be, but you'll see a full array of markets in the next hour or so. Our final match takes us from Bucharest to Munich. We've just put our umbrella on in Bucharest, and now we've got to put our snow jackets on and our jumpers on, because I watched that match this morning.
It looks horrible, doesn't it?
There was people with blankets. There's people covered in all the front rows full of blankets. There's people with their jackets on. I was actually contemplating going to this tournament, you know.
You know why
so
I didn't?
I didn't. So
this
glad.
This is why I didn't. I look at this every year and I think, oh, because I've been to Munich. You were probably there the same time as me, 2006 World Cup.
Yep.
I didn't bother going to any matches, by the way. I was just went to Munich for the atmosphere and a few visits to the beer cellar. That was my only and a little fan park sort of thing that they had going on there. I've toyed with this numerous times and I've thought, nah, it's always freezing or wet or both. Very rarely do you get a week in Munich at this time of the year when it's like 20, 21 or, you know, and sunny. That just doesn't happen very, very rarely. So I put that one to the back of my mind, and I don't think I'll be going there ever, to be honest with you. It was real feel of 1 degree this morning there.
What's going on there? What is it happening? What's the course speed and what's happening? What's the weather doing to the conditions?
Well, it's heavy. It's heavy as we expected. The problem is there is rain forecast all week, but the problem with that is how heavy is it? If it's just a tiny little light drizzle like it was early this morning for the start of the Draper match, you know, they can play through it without too many problems. But once it becomes a little heavier, then obviously it gets a bit dangerous for the players, particularly with the lines and stuff, which are obviously plastic, and it can be slippery. So it's difficult to predict what impact this rain is going to have on the schedule, because we don't know how heavy it's going to be. It tells you how many millimeters you're going to get in the day. That isn't that helpful, because it could fall after play's finished. So the bottom line is it's freezing cold. It's not going to get any warmer. It's going to be like 6-7 degrees. It's cold. It's wet. It's damp. It's not pleasant.
It's horrible.
That's it.
Horrible. It's absolutely.
Yeah.
That never go there this time of year. Don't go to this tournament. Monte Carlo last week. Beautiful.
But just be prepared to spend most of the time in the beer cellar, which
I don't mind that. That's acceptable. I don't mind that part of it, but the other bit, I don't really like. Okay, we have one match here. Felix Auger-Aliassime seeing up against Tara Daniel, -286 for the Canadian. Tara Daniel is +220. Tara Daniel ended a 3-match losing streak with a win against O'Connell. Quite an impressive win, actually. Won in straight sets in the first round here in Munich. Felix Auger-Aliassime, we know the difficulties he's had. You know, he seems to be coming back and then dropping back, and then we don't, you know, he's never, I don't know if he's ever going to be the top 10 player that we saw before, but he had a good win in the round one against Martier, but it was a long match. He come through in three very, very,
very
tight sets, 6-7, 7-6, 7-6. So it's as long as it goes. We know here Auger-Aliassime is the favourite. As I said, the spread is 3.5, -124. Auger-Aliassime giving up 3.5, -103 for Tara Daniel. Receiving 3.5. The total again here is 21.5. Hopefully, John's got it right. Over -124 and under -103. The line on Felix here looks short. It looks low. And I can understand why. Daniel has had a bad run, but he played, like I said, impressive, very impressive in round one. And I think a lot of people might look at their head-to-head because they met once before. It was a long, long time ago in 2017 in Seville in a challenger on clay. And Felix won 6-1, 6-love. Now, that is a long time ago, but that is a very, very heavy scoreline.
Yeah, it would have been a lot quicker, though, Seville in September. It would have been way, way quicker than the conditions we're going to get here. And I haven't got a record of that match. So it could have been that Daniel was injured or sick or whatever, or that just Felix had an absolutely unbelievable day. I don't know. It could have been any number of reasons. That seems a very irregular score. He was actually underdog for that match, Felix. +118 underdog, and he won 6-1, 6-love. But without knowing the actual circumstances of that match, it's hard to kind of really understand what went on. What we do understand is that Felix was incredibly lucky to win yesterday against Martyr. He admitted so after the match. You know, Martyr was 5-2 up in the final set, served for the match, couldn't do it. Then he had another match, a match point, which he couldn't take, ended up going to a final set tiebreak. You know, Martyr won way more points on second serve than Felix did. So little bit lucky, shall we say, that Felix got through there. If you're just looking at the last 12 months statistics on clay at main level, it's not really ideal, because neither man has really played many matches at this level on clay. They've played about 6 or 7 each. The stats, though, are very, very close. Felix's service points, 1 every 10 points, 1 tap is 100. Tyro Daniels is 99. So if you're looking at that, you can't really have Felix as a 1-3 favourite. Looking at this slightly further into those statistics, Daniels won 56% of his second serve points. Felix has only won 47%. As I've said many times, clay, the surface of clay finds out the holes that you have in your game, and Felix certainly has plenty of those these days. You feel like the longer the rally goes, the more likely you're going to get a mistake from Felix at some point. He's either going to be impatient and go for a winner that isn't really on and miss it, or he's just going to dump a backhand into the net. So you feel like if Daniel can stay competitive, he's got his chances here. The other interesting point is that Felix hasn't beaten anybody ranked inside the top 75 in the world on clay since the 2022 French Open. So his stats have been helped out by playing considerably lower ranked players. And his first serve, as we know, is his weapon. That's his game. Big first serve, big forehand. That's how he likes to do it. He's going to find it difficult in these conditions, which are, as we've said, very cold and very slow. Daniel, for me, the problem with Daniel is he's very streaky. You know, he popped up at the start of the year and made the final in Auckland from absolutely nowhere. And just looking at his form now, that O'Connell win was his first in about 8 or 10 matches by the look of it. So he's very streaky. He'll come into a tournament, get a win. Next thing you know, he's in the final, having lost, you know, pretty much all his matches in the last couple of months. That's what he tends to do, which makes him hard to bet. But as you said, he played really well against O'Connell. O'Connell himself played well in Munich last year. I think he made the semis, quarters or semis last year, O'Connell. So that's a really good result for Tyro Daniel. And if he carries on in that way, and he can coax the mistakes out of Felix, I think the overs is perhaps the way to go here. When I looked earlier, over 22.5 was a plus 107 chance of BetRivers. That's probably where I'd be going here.
Yeah, we got over 21.5 on the graphic here at minus 124. But on the BetRivers website, you can move it across to 21, 22, 23, even go whatever line you want to have. I was quite tempted to bet Daniel plus 3.5 here. And the reason why is because what you said there, Felix holds his serve, plays a lot of tie breaks. And we saw that last match, 7-6, 6-7, 7-6, 7-6. You expect a tie break if Felix is going to win. He's not going to win a set 6-3, 6-2. So I thought... I thought Tyro Daniel on the money line was quite a big price at plus 220, but I was
he is on the bare clay court stats. Yeah, there's a small sample size, but Felix is not the player people remember from a year or two ago, 18 months ago, whatever. He'll play one match. The problem with him betting him is he'll play one match and it'll look pretty good, and you think, oh, he's coming back to somewhere like his best, and then in the next match he'll have an absolute shocker. Mm. So it's kind of one step forward, two steps back for Felix these days. And with the fact that Daniel is so tough to read because he's on a long losing run and then he'll pop up and make a final, it's perhaps not one to get the big money out. But some way with Daniel is where I think we're both going on this.
Yeah, leaning towards Daniel, spread 3.5, the overs, 21.5, 22.5. Plus a set and a half, whichever you want to do. But Daniel definitely is the value here. Felix Auger-Aliassime is very, very low in the betting at minus 286. And he's a favourite that we believe probably win. You know, again, probably more than likely going to win. He's a 70-odd percent chance probability with BetRivers to win it. But we think that price is wrong. So we are looking at all our angles on Tyro Daniel rather than taking the very low price, minus 286 on Felix Auger-Aliassime. And that's it for today, Sean. That's it for the week. And that's it for these three tournaments as well. So what have we got? What's our official? Just the one official pick.
Yeah, Fuksovic in Bucharest to beat Griekspor. If you can get around evens, great. Yeah, that's the way to go, I think.
Yeah, the current price is minus 104, and that is the price we'll be using for our records on this show. We're about 6 points behind, units behind on the show. We'll get that back, no problem, over the next couple of weeks. And next week, we've got a big tournament. We're staying in Spain. It's the Madrid Masters. It's the 1000 event, and you'll be over there for us, Sean.
I will indeed. I'm staying at the amusingly named Hotel Arsol. That's where
I'd love to give that TripAdvisor. I'd love to give that a TripAdvisor review.
I'll be able to give it a TripAdvisor view on been there for a few days.
Not
been to Madrid before, so that should be interesting. But we're not going to be back until. Oh, it's probably going to be Monday, Tuesday. Depends when they do the draw, isn't it?
Yeah, the tournament starts at a strange day, doesn't it? It's Wednesday start. And Rory Giovanni will be out there as well. He'll be covering the WTA stuff
as
well.
There, doesn't he?
He's in Madrid. He lives out there, doesn't he? Catch up with Rory. He'll know all about the arsehole, and we'll see what it's like.
I bet he's never stayed there.
Have you ever stayed in an arsehole?
He's never stayed in an arsehole, that's for sure.
I've never stayed in the arsehole. But anyway, check out Sean's adventures on our Instagram account, at Because We Win on Instagram. We're getting loads and loads and loads of new followers. There's in-play stuff as well. Sean's going to have to be doing in-play picks with bad internet, with bad Wi-Fi on the... And it'd be brilliant. It'd be so amusing. Right. The bloopers will be great. And you'll be able to follow Rory as well. Rory will sit next to Sean and show me how quickly it can be done. But
Look forward to that lesson.
Remember to follow across all our channels here. We've got the Betting Weekly Studios on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that. Download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. And obviously, so please subscribe to the Twitter accounts on Because We Win, and also the Instagram account as well. So we're back next week for Madrid. Sean will be over there giving us all the videos. When are you flying out, Sean?
Wednesday. So we'll probably do a show Wednesday, sort of afternoon, evening, when I get to the aforementioned hotel.
Arseholes. And how long are you going to be there?
I think I'm there till Saturday. I think I can go on the tennis Thursday, Friday, Saturday, off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. You need to check the internet in the arsehole. It's quite weak.
Internet's fine in Spain. There's no problem in Spain. It's Britain where you tend to get problems with the internet.
Okay, no worries. Anyway, that's it for today. One official pick, Martin Fucsovic to beat Talon Griekspoor. We may have missed the line early, plus 118 with Bet Rivers, but minus 104 represents some value. Head across now, because that match starts at 5 a.m. tomorrow. The price will go. We believe that he will start around about minus 120. He's currently the underdog, but we believe he will start the favorite. That's it for today. Good luck with your bets. Have a great weekend. Make sure you follow all the content here on Betting Weekly Studios. Good luck today. Take care.